KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
It's partly cloudy and 14 degrees in Atlantic at 7:07. We look forward to be partly cloudy here today, a high of 34. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. A Red Oak resident reported to police Thursday that someone had kicked in the front door of her residence on East Market Street and taken items valued at $50. The incident happened sometime over the course of the previous 2 days. The victim reported the loss of a Harley Davidson collectible sign and cell phone, in addition to damage to the door, which was estimated at $100. Anyone with information about the incident is asked to contact Red Oak Police at 712-623-6500 or Crime Stoppers at 800-432-1001. Members of the Adair County Board of Supervisors will hold their first regular meeting of the year today in Greenfield. The meeting begins at 9 a.m. The board will take care of several administrative matters, including electing a board chair and vice chair, approving deputy, assistant, and clerk appointments by county recorder, treasurer, and attorney. They'll also act on a travel policy resolution, master matrix resolution, and the appointment of supervisors to area boards and commissions. The Adair County supervisors will hold a public hearing at 9:30 today with regard to a fiscal year 2015 budget amendment, along with resolutions approving the amendment and appropriations. At 10 a.m., they're expected to receive a compensation board fiscal year 2016 recommendation for elected officials, which they will take under consideration, along with a fiscal year 2016 hourly wage increases for full and part-time county employees. And then at 10:15, County Engineer Nick Kaufman will address the board with regard to various administrative and other departmental matters. Disagreements between the residents of the Hamburg and Farragut school districts will require intervention from the Green Hills Area Education Agency. The Omaha World-Herald reports a mediator will help the districts reach an agreement on whole grade sharing, which is linked to their facility plans. The districts have indicated that buildings will need to be closed next year. About 40 students, parents, and residents attended an emotional joint school board meeting last week. Hamburg Superintendent Terry Keneally told the paper several speakers supported the current grade sharing deal, while several wanted to change the configuration. School board members were unable to arrive at a resolution for both boards to consider, so the issue will be referred to the Green Hills Agency for Mediation. The two districts tried to reorganize in December, but the efforts failed by 7 votes in Hamburg despite passing in Farragut. Both districts also face accreditation and financial concerns, leaving further uncertainty about the future. They'll be going before the School Budget Review Committee this month and the Iowa Department of Education next month. The outcome of those meetings will decide whether the Farragut and Hamburg districts will continue to be dissolved. If they continue to operate, the districts have suggested that Marnie Simmons Elementary School in Hamburg and the Shared Nista School District in Farragut will be their remaining open buildings. All officials at the state's so-called special schools are aiming to improve their students' math and reading proficiency by 15%. Stephen Gattell, with the superintendent of the Iowa School for the Deaf and Iowa Educational Services for the Blind, says the goal is within reach.
In the first 4 years with the Iowa Educational Services for the Blind, students' proficiencies increased by 13.3% in reading and 13.6% in math. And at the Iowa School for the Deaf, the achievements were 12.3% in reading and 13.3% in math. So we've nearly achieved our goals there. It shows what you can do when you consolidate your efforts and your resources around improving instruction and understanding the curriculum and the needs better that our kids have.
There are 109 students enrolled at the Iowa School for the Deaf in Council Bluffs this year. Students no longer attend the Iowa School for the Blind in Vinton. Instead, teachers are sent to Iowa school districts to teach 562 students who are blind or visually impaired.
And we're providing sign language instruction across the state to between 400 and 500 adults and children.
Those sign language classes are conducted online. About a dozen students who graduated from the Iowa School for the Deaf are also enrolled in what Gattell calls the 4-plus program.
Bring students back who finished their high school credit requirements, but they still need additional training and education around the areas of literacy, math skills, pre-vocational skills, and independent living skills.
In total, the state's special schools for deaf and blind Iowans are providing services to more than 1,000 children and adults in the state. The National Weather Service in Des Moines reports significant travel concerns are expected Saturday evening into Sunday morning over much of central Iowa. A two-part system, with the first looking to pass over Missouri overnight tonight into Saturday. will provide the potential for a wintry mix over the south central to southeastern Iowa tomorrow morning. The second and stronger piece of energy will bring the main snow band across central Iowa late Saturday afternoon into Saturday evening. With the sharp cold front Saturday evening, strong northwesterly winds combined with falling snow will likely lead to areas of blowing snow and visibility restrictions late Saturday evening into Sunday morning. Temperatures are forecast to quickly plummet with a strong push of cold air Saturday night and may result in roads becoming icy and causing significant travel concerns. Generally, 1 to 4 inches of snow is forecast over central Iowa by late Saturday night, with higher amounts along and south of Interstate 80 and east of Interstate 35. Again, the snow amounts are not a major concern. It is the falling snow coupled with the very strong winds tomorrow night and Sunday morning. Bitterly cold temperatures and wind chills are expected all day Sunday into Sunday night, and the cold will persist through much of the work week. Another clipper system looks to bring accumulating light snow to northern Iowa Monday night into Tuesday. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning on KJAN, Vaneen Groh, age 76 of Guthrie Center, died Saturday. Funeral services for Vaneen Groh will be held tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the United Methodist Church at Bowman's Chapel in rural Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Richard McCauley, age 81 of Atlantic, died August 31st. A massive Christian burial service for Richard McCauley will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service of Atlantic is in charge of arrangements. Wayne Moss, age 89 of Sun Lakes, Arizona, and formerly of Adair, died Saturday. Funeral services for Wayne Moss will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Adair. Harry Peterson, Jr., age 81 of Harlan, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Harry Peterson, Jr. will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Bethlehem Lutheran Church at Jacksonville. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Hugh Ross, age 89 of Atlantic, died December 21st at the Heritage House. A gathering for Hugh Ross will be tomorrow from 2 until 4 p.m. at the Heritage House. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Jim Galloway, age 72 of Coon Rapids, died Tuesday. Private graveside services for Jim Galloway will be held at the Union Township Cemetery. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has arrangements. Alice Boyson, age 98 of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Heritage House. Services for Alice Boyson are pending at Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic. And Sharon Froelich of Coon Rapids died Thursday at Thomas Rest Haven in Coon Rapids. Services for Sharon Froelich are currently pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.